From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. So much happening here in the Diocese of Sacramento as we move into the fall. Yeah, we finally had the first day of fall. It didn't feel like it. It felt like another summer day here in the Sacramento Valley, but it will change quickly, as we know. The Holy Hour for Vocations, let us pray for vocations. Holy Hour, Benediction, and Fellowship will be Monday, October 21st, 6 p.m. at St. John Vianney Parish, 10497 Coloma Road in Rancho Cordova, sponsored and hosted in collaboration with the Diocese of Sacramento's Office of Priestly and Religious Vocations. Everybody's invited, but for any questions, contact Maricela Smith at 916-733-0258 or send her an email at msmith@scd.org. It should be a great event. Again, Monday, October 21, 6 o'clock at St. John Vianney Parish in Rancho Cordova. Well, John Deering joins us this morning. John, good day to you. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us.
It's my pleasure, Bob. Always love talking about divine mercy, and here we are, another year going by, and another conference on deck.
I love not only talking about divine mercy, I love feeling it.
Oh, yes. God's mercy is unfathomable, too. We can meditate on it forever and ever, and we'll still not understand
how. I keep mulling that over. It's such a powerful word, unfathomable.
Yeah.
And I try to fathom unfathomable, and I can't do it.
No, it's even hard for me to say it.
So tell us, give us the details on the conference.
Okay, the date would be Saturday, October 12th. Mm-hmm. Our board has settled on, you know, we used to move the date around to be close to the Feast of St. Faustina, and we settled on the second Saturday of October, so every year it'll be on the second Saturday of October. So this year it'll be October 12th. That'll be a Saturday. Again, it's at the same location, Divine Mercy Parish, which is at 2231 Club Center Drive in Sacramento. That's in North Natomas, off of Del Paso Boulevard. And we have two wonderful out-of-town speakers, Father Bill Casey, who's well-known from his presentations on EWTN. And I just got done listening to him, and he's just as good as he's ever been. He's been around for a while, and I call him a fire and brimstone type of speaker.
Mm-hmm.
So he really touches the heart. And the other speaker was actually in a video last year that the Knights of Columbus put out, the Stories of Mercy, and Eric Mall is the gentleman's name, and he was a Cleveland Browns linebacker.
Oh yes.
And he was called by the Lord. He says, "This is not what I want you to be doing." So after 4 years in the NFL, making all that money and getting all those accolades and fame, he left voluntarily left the football game, and he went to minister to people. I think he had a couple stops along the way. I think he went to he went with some priests, some monks, someplace to live a quiet life. But now he's actually ministering to people on the streets of Cleveland, and he goes and tells people, you know, God loves him, and he's merciful, and he hands out the Divine Mercy image and tries to give them what society can't give them, and that is recognition as a unique individual, a person who deserves the same dignity that God has given every person.
Wow, and, you know, a linebacker in the NFL, they tend to be merciless.
That's right.
They play the game. And so now he's full of mercy.
He is. His name is Eric Mall, but in college and in the NFL, they called him Animal.
And, oh, wow.
or the Mahler. So he's also a friend of Father Gately, and I guess they went to school together at some point. And he says, "Yeah, we used to call him the Mahler."
Oh boy!
Because he was a 260-pound linebacker, and that was his passion in life until God said, "I have another passion for you."
Wow! And of course, in Cleveland, where they play, it's known as the Dog Pound. And it's a pretty wild place that people used to throw batteries from the stands.
Well, that's pretty rough. So that's where he came from. And yes, like you say, now he's ministering mercy to people and showing people who really need God's mercy. He's actually delivering it to them. At their place of residence, which is on the streets. As a matter of fact, he said, "Could I come to the conference a day early so I could spend the first night on the streets of Sacramento?" We said, "Well, certainly, if that's what you'd like to do." So he's coming on Thursday. The conference is on Saturday. People usually fly in on Friday, but he's coming on Thursdays, and he's... we're making arrangements for him to spend the night with the people on the streets of Sacramento.
Oh, boy. He will be, I'm sure, a very dynamic speaker.
Yeah, he will. And like I said, the combination with Father Bill Casey, who is another dynamic preacher, people are going to go away with a lot of encouragement and motivation to go out and be merciful to one another. The ABCs of mercy. Ask for God's mercy. Be merciful to one another. And completely trust in God's mercy.
So tell us, John, what annual is this?
This will be the 14th annual.
You are kidding.
So you and I are getting a little bit older because we were together at the first annual where you corrected me and says, "Well, you can't call it an annual until you got to the second one."
I remember that conversation well, and that was from a high school English teacher told me that, and it's always stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And in fact, just the other day, I saw something somewhere in the newspaper or something about the first annual something, and immediately the bells started ringing, and holy cow, here we are at the 14th annual.
Right, yeah, it's amazing, and we're trying to also the Divine Mercy Support Network has been in the last several years trying to get the devotion out into the parishes more. We do have points of contact in 60 of the 100 parishes, and we're promoting things at the parish level. So it's actually working. And on Divine Mercy Sunday, many parishes are doing their own Divine Mercy masses and holy hours and whatnot. But even this year, there's another organization, it's St. John the Baptist in Folsom. They are having Father Michael Gately come out, I think, in November.
Mm-hmm.
So parishes are putting on their own Divine Mercy conferences or presentations, and so we're very encouraged by that. It's good to get it out into the parishes to spread this fire. You know, we talk a lot about wildfires. This Divine Mercy devotion is a wildfire that's spreading throughout the world, actually.
And boy, I can't think of a better time for it.
Right. Yeah, we really need it. And Father Bill Casey, he talks about all the current points, you know, all the current events and things that are going on in the world and things that are going on in the church. So he's going to make it very relevant.
Tell us, give us some of the nuts and bolts. It's Saturday, October 12th, Divine Mercy Parish on Club Center Drive, 2231. What time?
Right. Well, we're going to we'll open the doors at 8 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
And there is a parish mass at 8:30. So if you want to come,
okay.
First thing in the morning.
The regular Saturday morning mass.
Right, mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And but the program will start about 9:30,
mm-hmm.
and last till 4:30. And then even if you want to stay after, there's also a vigil mass at 5 p.m. So we're going to have the bookends. We'll have two masses as bookends to this conference.
Very good.
And you can satisfy your Sunday obligation by going to the 5 p.m. mass.
Right. Not the 8:30, but the 5 will satisfy it. That's right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But what a wonderful opportunity to attend Holy Mass and receive the Eucharist either in the morning or after the conference. That's perfectly timed, John.
Uh-huh. Now, the other thing people ask about is you're going to have food there. So we always have the local Knights of Columbus group there, and they handle the food vending. And they'll have sandwiches, again, different variety of sandwiches and chips and, you know, drinks and whatnot available for
purchase. Well, if the Knights are handling the food, that's all taken care of.
Right.
You don't have to worry about that.
Right. But if you have a special diet requirement, you could bring your own food. We'll have tables set up under a tent, and you can bring your own food. Or if you have a favorite restaurant around there, the Del Paso area has many restaurants. So if you want to eat out, we'll have an extended lunch period.
Mm-hmm.
So you just about do whatever you want there.
And what's the cost?
The cost is $20 in advance, or $25 at the door.
And people can come to the door.
Obviously, you can save $5 by. Now you can contact your. As I mentioned, these 60 points of contacts in various parishes. If you know who it is, or if you want to check out who your point of contact would be, you can go to our website at divinemercysacramento.org. And we have a link there. When you look at upcoming events, there's a link for the POC at your parish. Or we also have a way to sign up online at that site.
Oh, good.
And you can use your own credit card, and it goes through PayPal. You don't have to have a PayPal account. You just have your own credit card. Fill out the form, hit the button, and your name will appear on the list on my end, and we'll have that at the conference. Or if you don't have a computer, you can actually send a check to Divine Mercy Sacramento at P.O. Box 124, Shingle Springs, California, 95682. And if you have more questions, you can call me at 530-677-2805.
I think that's every detail we need, John.
Mm-hmm. So, well, there is one more I left out.
Yeah.
We have a third speaker. Now, we usually have a local speaker, somebody, say, hey, this person is right from my own town and,
mm-hmm.
Has experienced God's mercy as well. So our person this year is Gail Davenport. She's from St. Joseph's Parish in Lincoln, and she'll be giving her personal testimony on God's mercy in her life.
Very good.
So at 3 o'clock, when the bell chimes three, our Divine Mercy Chaplet people will be there to lead the Divine Mercy Chaplet. They'll be coming from Holy Trinity Parish, and we have some nice meditations from the diary of Saint Faustina, words that Jesus spoke to Saint Faustina on every bead of the rosary as we go through. That's very beautiful and very moving as well. So they'll be there and to lead the chaplet at 3 o'clock. And we have a special little breakout session for all these points of contact that I mentioned. They're our key people. They're our key salespeople. They go out into their parishes and do things. So we give them special training, special motivation and whatnot. So we'll be talking to them around lunchtime as well. And the other thing that's nice about our conference is we have confessions available morning and afternoon. So if you haven't been to confession for a long time, and confession is such a central part of God's mercy, that's where we receive God's mercy in the confessional. And so that's available. We have priests morning and afternoon to take care of people's needs there.
In case you commit the sin of gluttony at lunchtime.
Yes, and I'm liable to do that on that one.
So tell us, just a little bit, John. I know we have a lot of new listeners about divine mercy and the divine mercy of devotion and the chaplet of divine mercy, Sister Faustina. Not Sister Faustina anymore. Well, she's still Sister Faustina, but she's Saint Faustina.
Right, she's a saint. And, you know, I was just looking on the webpage here, and there's another movie coming out about her called Love and Mercy. It's a one-evening showing in Sacramento. You have to go to the website to find out what theaters are showing it, but it's on October 28th. So there's so much out there nowadays about the Divine Mercy Devotion. If you, you know, go into Google and put in Divine Mercy Devotion, and you'll have enough to read forever. But, yeah, you know, mercy's been around since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
And, but until the 1930s, Jesus wanted to reemphasize his mercy. And, you know, for many of us growing up back in the 50s, we were kind of fearful of God. Now we find out he's not somebody who really needs to be feared. It's somebody who needs to be loved, and we can trust in his mercy and his love for us. So there's a re-emphasis on what mercy is really all about. And he spoke to St. Faustina, a Polish nun, back in the 1930s. He directed her to keep a diary of everything that he said to her. So we have a 600-page diary of the conversations that Jesus had with her and her own reflections about God's mercy. And it was just enriched by so many different aspects. This chaplet, this special prayer on a rosary that we can say every day and extolling God's mercy. He also established and said he wanted a feast to be celebrated, the Divine Mercy Sunday, on the Sunday after Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And,
which it now is.
He also showed himself to St. Faustina physically, and he said, I want you to paint a picture of me as you see it, with the title, Jesus, I Trust in You. So we have those elements and more. We have the 3 o'clock hour, and which is, you know, at 3 o'clock we remember
sure.
his ultimate gift of mercy on the cross.
Right.
So this all these aspects of divine mercy came through St. Faustina, and now we can celebrate God's mercy in so many ways, so many wonderful ways, and make it a part of our daily Catholic life.
You know, John, I don't know how many times I've told people if you're having a rough day or a little down and out or having some doubts, if you're having a, you know, just I'm not worthy, which none of us are, I say, boy, just keep that book nearby. Keep it on a coffee table or in the kitchen or the bedroom or somewhere. Just crack it open and just read one of those passages.
And that's so fascinating about it. You know, St. Faustina, she only had, they say, 3 semesters, so like maybe a year and a half of schooling. And when you read some of those passages, you know that the Holy Spirit was talking to her, because a person with 3 semesters of education could not write something as beautiful as some of the passages in that diary, actually all of them.
They give us all such hope. And envelop us with love and, you know, just the knowledge that God is with us and God loves us and God is indeed merciful.
Yes, he is. So that does give you hope, because we do have a tendency to get down on ourselves, and we have to remind ourselves, well, you know, God is still cheering for us. He wants us to get up when we fall and come back to him. And that's what he loves to see, is our effort to come back. We don't have to be 100% successful, but if we try, he realizes that, he sees that, and he blesses that.
And Jesus, I trust in you. There it is. That's you know.
Now, if you want to reduce Divine Mercy Devotion to 3 words, it's Jesus, I trust in you.
Yeah, I think.
And when I'm sleeping, sometimes I can't get all that out. I'm groggy, and I just say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Yes. Yes. John, greatly appreciate you taking all the time to join us. Also, just greatly appreciate all the great work you've done. 14th Annual Conference, that's a lot to be proud of.
Well, thank you. I am getting older, and if there's any young people out there who have a burning desire to get involved in the Divine Mercy devotion in the Sacramento Diocese, please contact me at the conference or at my number that I gave out earlier. I'll be glad to invite you to a board meeting and to get you involved.
Very good, John. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, God bless. That's John Deering from the Divine Mercy Group here in Sacramento. Again, the Divine Mercy Conference, the 14th annual. I remember the first one, Saturday, October 12th at Divine Mercy Parish. That's appropriate. 2231 Club Center Drive in North Natomas. Father Bill Casey will be speaking. Eric Maul, a former linebacker for the Cleveland Browns, will be speaking. And Gail Davenport from St. Joseph's in Lincoln will be speaking. Holy Mass at 8:30 a.m. if you can make that. The conference begins at 9:30, runs to 4:30, and then there will be a vigil mass. The regular Saturday Vigil Mass at Divine Mercy at 5 p.m. Go to divinemercysacramento.org to sign up for this wonderful event. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Chris Owens. Stay tuned. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Yasmin Castellanos from the Catholic School Department, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Yasmin, and thanks for all you do here for schools, our great Catholic schools. Chris Owens joins us, the director of the Office of Family and Faith Formation. Chris, good day.
Hey, good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good to have you with us.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Ministry days. It's here.
It is here tomorrow.
It's like Christmas Eve.
Exactly right. Exactly right. The many months of hard work that not only my team, but really all of the pastoral ministries here in the diocese have been working on various aspects. And it's a great coordinated effort, and really excited. We're getting started tomorrow with a whole bonus day of ministry days compared to previous years.
This is new. And it's almost like a like sometimes a university will have an open house, you know, and every department does something. That's, and it feels like a pastoral center open house at St. Francis.
Yeah, in a very real way it is. We, of course, with Faith Formation have been heavily involved in leading the charge, but youth and young adults have been right there beside us. In fact, they're doing a theology on tap on Friday night. And then, of course, schools department has got a big hand in it because it's a day of professional development for all the teachers of the diocese.
On Friday.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. But then, you know, our safe environment's involved. The tribunal here at the diocese is involved. I'm trying to think. Just, it really is a team effort all the way up to the bishop's office.
And I understand all the Catholic students are going to get together And they're going to have a march saying, we don't want a three-day weekend.
Yeah. 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 You know, I popped in on my wife teaches over at St. Francis High School, and I happened to be over there. So I popped in at the very tail end of the workday and told them all they were very welcome for having the three-day weekend, and I was glad to oblige.
That's great. I bet you got a standing ovation.
Yes.
All this, some of the St. Francis girls are going to be performing. Is that correct?
That's right. Well, performing is maybe not the best term. They'll be providing the music for the Mass on Friday.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Not performing as such.
As such, but yeah.
which means the attention's on me when I'm performing, and that's not what we do at Mass.
Exactly right. Yeah. So, but they'll be providing the music for the Mass, and really excited about. Again, just see how far the collaboration extends. James Cavanaugh is the Director of Office of Worship, has been leading the charge there. And on Friday, we've got the choir from St. Francis. And then on Saturday, of course, Bishop Soto's own brother will be leading a choir that's been formed especially for the event.
Dr.
Rick Soto, yeah.
And we had him on the program last year, and what a delightful guy he is.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to finally meeting him.
He has a lot of good family stories to tell, too.
I believe it. I believe it. So he's going to be leading a bilingual choir for our multicultural Mass on Saturday at Ministry Days. So it really just I feel privileged to be able to serve in this capacity to lead the charge here, and I kind of see myself as like the guy who's holding up this wall while somebody's building the other walls, exactly. So it doesn't collapse. But that is to say, the work of Ministry Days just requires everybody, and it's just such a great event. And in fact, I'll tell you, our numbers are up this year from last year. So not only by adding the extra day, of course, we have more tickets sold, but our numbers for Friday and Saturday are both up. So
are you aware, do other dioceses do anything like this?
You know, a lot of dioceses do. Although I just came back from our annual meeting of all the California diocesan directors for catechetical mm-hmm. ministries, and a couple of dioceses have started to reconsider whether it's something they want to do. I know a couple have latched on to events like the LA Congress down in the
right,
South.
Right.
And then, of course, there's the Santa Clara Faith Formation Conference, right, which has changed names this year. I can't recall what they've changed it to, but...
Right.
But that really takes care of folks in the metropolitan areas of the Bay and,
right,
and LA. But, we've got folks coming in for the conference here that are coming from Stockton or coming all the way from Fresno.
Wow.
We've got some folks from on the other side of the mountain in Reno. Our numbers keep staying strong. I think it's because we are so far apart from the other metropolitan areas,
right,
and also I think we have a unique contribution to ministry with such a diverse diocese. I was just looking this morning. We've got 83 parishes that are signed up from our diocese, and then
which is almost exactly 83%.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Almost. And many people coming from the far north.
I remember leading a workshop presentation a couple of years ago on the domestic church, and there was one woman from Wairika who was such a great contributor. I almost want to just sit down and say, why don't you come up here, because your stuff is really good.
Yes.
That's one of the great parts about it is this collaboration.
Where
people bring their own experiences in, and well, this is what we do as a family. And you go, oh, wow, that's good stuff.
You're exactly right, and I think that this is a unique event in the life of the Church of the Diocese, because there are very few events where everybody in the diocese comes together.
Yeah.
Of course, you have the Holy Thursday liturgy, where the priests all come together with the bishop.
And the Chrism Mass.
And the Chrism Mass.
Which in many dioceses is on Holy Thursday.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. And so... But very few events where all the laity are coming together with the bishop. And so it's really exciting to be able to see, especially surrounding our theme this year, right? To go make disciples, co-responsibility for the mission of the church. This has been a really strong priority of Bishop Soto, especially in light of all the clergy abuse scandals. And, of course, we released our list this past spring. But to key principles, which he has emphasized, our co-responsibility and transparency. And so we're only going to, as the laity, be able to be co-responsible for the mission if we're formed.
The other thing I like about ministry days is not only are people coming from 83 parishes and probably all 20 counties of the diocese, you aren't just in an auditorium with them and you can wave or something. You're actually, there's lots of time. Yeah, there's lunchtime, there's before, there's after, there's between workshops, et cetera, to really just engage in conversation, just sitting on a bench outside or something.
Exactly right. You know, we've got great workshops. I think we've got over 100 workshops scheduled. And it's a time to sit there in a smaller setting with people from all over the diocese. And then that conversation spills out of the workshop.
Right.
And into the courtyard.
A lot of exchanging of phone numbers and business cards, and I'm going to get a hold of you when we need to talk.
Well, and you know, we've tried to facilitate that a little bit better this year, actually, Bob. We've got a new app for Ministry Days, which if you've registered, you'll get an automatic invite to download the app and log in. And this will not only have your personal selections for your workshops, but it'll also have a facility for contacting people you meet.
Oh, good.
And it will have the ability to look up perhaps documents that the speakers have placed up there for their particular workshops. So, you know, we can increase community after ministry days through the presenters being able to provide support in a continuing fashion.
I am sure that, and you, I'm sure you don't have any data on it, but I'll bet after ministry days in the ensuing 12 months, there have been prayer groups started. There have been Bible study. There have just been let's get together and talk about our faith groups.
Yes,
probably casual but based on ministry days.
Absolutely, I think you know we've already seen some of them, and some of them we've made some last minute additions to ministry days precisely because of this desire. So one of them being around the anti-racism task force.
Yes.
Of course, the Tolton play is showing all across the diocese this week, and we're having a special showing of Tolton at St. Francis tomorrow evening, with a cocktail hour beforehand included as a part of the ticket. But there was a desire to have an opportunity to talk about the Tolton play and to talk about it in the context of the current climate in Sacramento, especially. And so we've added a workshop at Ministry Days for people to be able to continue a discussion about the Tolton play.
Well, you see, that's the other thing about Ministry Days. People go, what's it all about? It's about everything.
Exactly right.
I mean, the number of different workshops, it's all over the map in terms of things you wouldn't even imagine. And the anti-racism task force, which the USCCB has come out with, and I know Bishop Soto is really strong on that.
Yes.
The Tolton play, of course, Tolton, the first African-American priest in the United States who was a slave.
Yes.
It's a wonderful production from St. Luke's Productions. And Thursday, cocktail hour at 6, the play is at 7 at the theater at St. Francis.
Yeah, and it's very timely that we're doing this also because his cause for canonization is advancing.
Yeah, indeed
he'll be
it is.
Beatified in a few weeks, I believe.
Get a saint out of Chicago.
Yeah. Amazing. So we've done a number of things in addition to the Friday and the Saturday of Ministry Days. As I said, we get started tomorrow morning, not at St. Francis. We're actually starting over at Sierra II Center for Performing Arts, just around the corner from the Pastoral Center.
And on 24th Street.
This is a day-long symposium on the disaffiliation of young Catholics.
Now, what does that mean, disaffiliation?
So this is the term which the social scientists have used to describe when somebody checks out or walks away or identifies no longer as a Catholic, even though they might still be on the record book, right? And so this is one of the interesting things about disaffiliation is it's in increments. Mm-hmm. There's never one moment that disaffiliation happens. It's an incremental process. And then there's a sort of a final disaffiliation moment when, in dramatic ways, in Europe, we saw in Germany, people writing letters and going to court even about renouncing their baptism. Of course, in Germany, they have the church tax.
Yes.
Let's
see, I can renounce my religion and 8% of my income will stay with me.
Yeah.
it's a very odd concept.
Yes, indeed. But here in America, the statistics are showing that the average age of disaffiliation is by the age of 13.
Wow.
So,
like eighth grade.
Yeah. So this is before they hit youth group, right? This is like people that come to youth groups for the large part are already self-selecting to stay.
To stay, yeah.
Right? And that's actually a sign of hope for youth programs and a real evangelization opportunity that needs to happen at a younger age. It needs to happen before kindergarten. It needs to happen through primary school. And really what we're talking about, of course, is a lifelong catechesis, a whole family catechesis.
Right.
And the building of communities in our parishes.
Right.
So, it'd be interesting. One of the things I told the priests when they were gathered for a meeting recently when I was promoting the disaffiliation symposium is some of the things in the disaffiliation symposium will be confirmations of things you might think of anecdotally.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. For the most part, the data is very surprising. And in order to do this, we not only have some of the experts from St. Mary's Press, Dr. Bob McCarty, for instance, coming to speak about the study and the findings of the study, but also we're bringing in Dr. Josh Packard from Denver, and he's a social scientist who's not even a Catholic.
Right.
He's an evangelical, I believe. But his presentation will be very interesting because he's going to show how disaffiliation is a phenomenon that's not unique to the church or to Christianity, but it's there's similar dynamics underpinning why people choose to leave the big box grocery stores and shop at the local organic store.
Yeah.
Right? So the data is very interesting and surprising, and it's really worth it for anybody who's either working in the church or working with young people in any organization, really, to understand why people are choosing to disaffiliate from from the identity which they've been raised with.
You know, I'll take a wild stab. I could be wrong that a lot of the disaffiliated, those that have left, aren't leaving to go to another faith. They're just kind of giving up organized religion altogether.
Exactly. This is what we call the phenomenon of the nuns.
Of the nuns, yeah.
Yes, and Bishop Barron, of course, down in L.A., has been very outspoken in bringing this to the attention of the church in America. It's not so much that they've stopped believing in God. It's that they don't see their relationship with God being furthered or deepened through religious practices.
Right.
I've
talked to some of them, you know, and I'm sure you have, you know.
Exactly right.
And it's very difficult to put our finger on, well, yeah, I understand what you're saying. Well, I don't need this stuff. I believe in God. I go out in the forest and, you know, and that's all good. You know, you can go out in the forest and talk to God. That's great.
Yes.
But there's also, you know, Jesus founded this church.
Yeah. And you know, Bob, I think this moment in the life of the church, we see a vital urgency in understanding the data and trying to respond to the data in the best way that, right. that we can humanly. I think it's also really important to realize that this phenomenon, in different ways, has been going on for at least the last 100 years. And one example I think of, and this is back after the war, was the evangelization idea of the French
right.
Church. They ordained priests and then sent them into the factories to work,
right.
Because they recognized that the people weren't coming to the churches anymore. So the worker priest movement, it was short-lived, but it was an acknowledgement of a reality, mm-hmm. and trying to come up with a good solution right. on how to best minister to the people today.
Right.
So it is kind of a challenge, and this is why I think it's great that Ministry Days this year we're starting with this symposium. We're going to sit in the data of the problem,
yeah.
right? And ultimately, I would say the symposium is going to be unsatisfying because it's not going to provide a solution.
Right. right.
But the important thing is that we have actual data about the problem,
right.
and we understand the problem better. And this is why I think pairing it with Ministry Days with our theme this year, which is simply a renewal of the mission which Jesus gave to us, right? To the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, the last words, Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations, right. baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and know that I am with you always, even unto the consummation of the world.
Yeah.
And this is it, right? We've got a particular reality of the church that can be disheartening at times, and to better understand that reality, and then recommit ourselves to the mission.
Yeah.
And so, really, I think the whole of the 3 days for Ministry Days is going to be really excellent. We've brought in some great speakers for not only the Disaffiliation Day, but then on Friday, we have Dr. Velma Richmond, who is Professor Emerita from Holy Names mm-hmm. University. She's going to be speaking on humanities and building a Catholic imagination
mm-hmm.
through not only, of course, teaching catechism,
right.
but through an integral Catholicism that permeates the whole of education.
Right.
And then on Saturday, we have two keynotes. We have Dr. Bennett Omalu, who, of course, you had on the show
right.
Recently.
Right.
And then also Father Eddie Fernandez. And they'll be talking about this mission of making disciples in their own way, through their own fields of expertise and the mission that God has called them to serve in the world.
Yeah, Dr. O'Malley, I didn't know whether to wear a football helmet or not when he came on, the so-called concussion doctor.
Exactly right.
His story is fascinating. His faith is fascinating, inspiring.
Yes,
I think so. And to see the combination of those two, and he said something that I've always felt, but you don't hear too often, that, you know, faith and science are not on a collision course. They're on a course that's going to bring them together because they're both seeking the truth.
Exactly right.
And you know, we have as people of faith, we have nothing to worry about what any scientific discovery.
Yes.
We have that's part of God's plan.
Yes.
The only concerns we sometimes have with science is what we do with the knowledge.
Yes.
You know.
Now, of course, the intellectual and the academic, the formation, the community building, these are all big parts of Ministry Days. But of course, maybe most important is we'll have Mass with the bishop
yes.
on both Friday and Saturday.
Right.
And what a great opportunity to bring all the folks involved in any aspect of formation together to have union and communion. with our bishop, Bishop Soto. And I highlight this for two reasons. One is we're going to be live streaming the Mass if you can't make it to Ministry Days proper.
Right.
We won't, for all sorts of reasons, copyright and otherwise, we won't be live streaming any other parts of Ministry Days. But we're going to be live streaming the Mass and on both days. And then in a very special way on Saturday, and fitting with our theme of Go Make Disciples, we're going to have the commissioning of all of the folks who've been involved with the Lay Mission Project for the last 3 years. So we'll have about 70-something laymen and women from all across the diocese who will receive their commissioning after three intense years of formation in how
it's an incredible project.
Yes, how to go and be salt and light to the world, how to take that go the Mass has ended at the end of every Sunday Mass and take that off of the church property and into the workplace, into the home, into your community groups, and to be able to, through the witness of life and through discernment of how God is calling you, to be equipped with the tools to minister and to make disciples. And so so that's really exciting aspect of Ministry Days on Saturday of this year, is this commissioning of all of those who've been involved in the Lay Mission Project, which, of course, we'll be launching a new cohort in January of next year. If this is interesting to you, please be on the lookout for that information coming through the parish bulletin or through the diocesan website. On the whole, I'd say I think that this theme of Ministry Days this year, Go Make Disciples, Co-Responsibility for the Mission of the Church, this is programmatic of our entire year in the Office of Faith Formation.
Absolutely.
And even the Pastoral Center at large, coming straight from the bishop. And so while we hope everybody will come to Ministry Days, we've still got plenty of space, especially on the Saturday.
And we should emphasize, even though there's events Thursday and then all day Friday, all day Saturday, that most people come to one or the other, or this year probably a lot will come to Thursday evening and Friday or Saturday. Yeah,
exactly right. So we hope you'll come for any part of it that you're able to come to, and if there's things that you can't for whatever reason make it this year, but you see some workshops that you're really interested in, I hope you'll get in touch with our office, and let's see about maybe bringing some of those topics, you know, to the parish near you, because this really is this is the program for our entire year.
MinistryDays.com will show you all everything that's there, plus how to sign up.
Exactly right.
Do you have a favorite workshop you're looking forward to? You're going to stand in
you
the
know, Father Michael Sweeney and Sean Bryan will be giving...
The ninja.
Yes, the papal ninja. They're going to be giving a workshop in the first slot on Friday and Saturday morning, which is directly addressing the church abuse crisis and the role of the laity in helping to build the church. I'm really excited about that one. We've also got a very interesting young man who is coming all the way from England, who has a program called Beyond the Wild.
Oh, and, yes.
And
right.
he's been here for 2 weeks working with the youth and young adults. He was at On Fire talking to the young men 2 weeks ago. And he's going to talk about youth culture and bringing the outdoors into evangelization and ministry to young people.
How to barbecue a rattlesnake?
Maybe.
He's an interesting guy.
Yes, I know he's been hiking on the Pacific Crest Trail last couple of days, so he really walks the walk as well, literally.
Yeah.
School teachers, there's going to be, especially for those involved in leadership, there's going to be an interesting workshop on how to build up a Catholic identity in the Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
And this being by a gentleman called Ryan Mayer, who is who actually lives here in Sacramento, but works in administration at Marin Catholic High School in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we're pulling in talent from all over the place, and this is not to exclude our own local talent.
Right.
For instance, Deacon Errol is going to be giving a workshop on the document Christi Fidelis Laici, which is the 30th anniversary this year, and it's all about the role of the laity, the lay Christian faithful in the world. And then we've got a number of great sponsored workshops from various book publishers and our vendors. We'll have a great selection of vendors who, without which we wouldn't be able to do the event, and their support. There's just something for everybody, and it's really going to be a great couple of days.
And lunch.
Yeah. And we're going to have a hot lunch this year.
Oh, really?
Not just box sandwiches. We're going to have a hot lunch this year. So if the food was keeping you away, we're gonna sample some of the really great food of the Epicurean cooking staff over at St. Francis High School.
Oh, wonderful.
So and they locally source all their food. So. So it'll be a really great meal.
How great that is.
Yes.
Wow. And like you say, Holy Mass. You know, Chris, and we're talking with Chris Owens, the director of the Office of Faith and Family and Faith Formation, about ministry days. So much of carrying it out into the marketplace, people, more and more we hear people say, well, you just go do what you want to within the four walls, but don't you dare bring it into government, politics, don't put your morals on me kind of things. And you go, no, you know, I mean, every law we make is based on one person's morals against somebody else's morals.
Exactly.
Usually
right.
Usually a 51-49 vote. But it's, you know, it's like we have laws about stealing and murder and speeding past a school. We have all kinds of laws against drunk driving. That's just one person's morals against another.
Exactly.
All laws
right.
Presumably are based on some sort of morality.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned earlier the split in present day conversation between faith and science.
Yeah.
And it's this exact same with faith and political life. And there's a real fallacy here, and that is it is to deny a citizen's opinion or right to voice their what they believe to be
right.
good and right in the public sphere on the grounds that they have faith.
Right.
And if we do that, then this means that only the people that don't have faith are allowed to make laws, right?
That's exactly right.
And so we're cutting out a large majority of the citizenry, and so it undermines the whole of the democratic process.
Well, you know, I had this argument with somebody that I used to march arm in arm with back in the 60s, you know, we shall overcome, you know. And they're saying, well, you know, there's just too much religion and politics and all this. And I said, well, you know something? The reason I got involved in the civil rights movement was because of religion, because
yes.
of my Catholic faith, my Christian faith. I believe that God created everybody. I believe he created all of us equal. I believe we are all equal in his eyes, and I believe that he loves us all equally, and that carries right over into civil rights, and people forget it was the Reverend Martin Luther King, the
yes.
Reverend Ralph Abernathy, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference that started this whole civil rights movement, and the letter from the Birmingham jail from Martin Luther King to white pastors in the South mentioned Jesus Christ about 4,000 times.
Yes.
You know? And it's like that's the basis of all this equality, all this civil rights at least for me, was religion.
Yes.
You know, and or religious belief. And if I can't bring my religious belief to the marketplace, well, okay, well, we won't have any civil rights laws.
Well, you're exactly right. And recent legislation, of course, here in California with, there was SB 360 in the summer, which is the confessional bill.
Right, the bill, confession.
And,
SB 24.
SB 24, which is still, I don't think it's been signed into law yet. So please do write to the governor and tell him to not sign. These things are, unfortunately, when you remove religion from the public discourse, I think what happens is that you can get wrapped up in ideas, and those ideas can become ideology.
Right.
And the unique contribution of religion to the public discourse is what Pope St. John Paul II referred to as the personalist approach or the personalist norm, is that the good of this human person always comes back to mind, because our religion is one which saw God become man, and the dignity of the human person is elevated because of that. And so I think, even without considering truth claims regarding religion, the role of religion in at least the American public discourse seems to be a continual pointing back of the dignity of this person, not an abstract ideal of some hypothetical person, but this person here who's being harmed because of unjust legislation. And our bishop even wrote an op-ed that was published and it's been republished all over the state in the last week. It was co-signed by one of the Newman Center leadership students over at Sacramento State, Jessica Manzo. And he points this out. He says, when SB 24 is being sort of pushed through without any thought for this is the abortion pill being provided
on campus. On campuses,
right?
At UC and CSU's campuses.
Exactly. Yeah. And when you see this being pushed through without any thought for the psychological care of a victim of rape, right?
Exactly.
When there's no accountability for who's actually distributing it or to how many people. And there's no statistical reporting or even any evidence of a real need.
Right.
Bishop Soto says that when the legislation ignores its own advisor's advice, and when it doesn't have a mechanism for providing real care, then in fact they become a part of the system which is causing further harm.
Absolutely.
And so this is why Bishop has been very outspoken, and also Jessica as well, being very brave as a college student to say that this is not only unjust in the human life at stake with the unborn baby, but it's also does harm to the other persons involved, and this is a continual refrain of the church in the public discourse is this person here in front of us has dignity, and they need to have real care given to them.
Real care,
yes,
yeah. Indeed, yeah. That's one of the most troubling bills to come down the pike in a long time.
I think, really.
My mother used to be the director of nursing at a student health center at UC Davis.
Okay.
And she would have to resign.
Mm.
I mean, she would have to resign if that happened.
Mm.
Chris, we're getting the you've run out of time sign.
Well, I would just say maybe before we get cut off that it's when these pressing issues come up in society, in the public discourse, that it gives all the more reason for why we need our lay Catholics to have a solid formation,
right,
so that they can not only know their faith and live their faith, but articulate it in the world.
Indeed. Well said, Chris. Always a pleasure.
Yes. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks for listening, everybody. That'll do it for us today. God bless.
sacrifice.